Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. This season, it's all grit. I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players, gaining more insight on what makes this team go. The Detroit Lions are now in a new, grittier era, and we look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we talk all things football with Canton, Michigan native Trevor Nowoski. We discuss his signing with the Detroit Lions, NFL training camp, his promotion to the active roster, and the Arizona Cardinals using a waiver claim to bring him over to the desert. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
This is Corey Schlesinger, and you are listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
All right, well, Trevor, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We're getting close to the NFL draft, and I want to go back to what things were like for you a year ago. But before that, I'd like to take the listeners or let the listeners learn a little bit more about you. You went to Saginaw Valley State, and let me ask you, out of high school, were you looking at other places, or did you always know that that was the place you wanted to go to?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't superly heavily recruited out of high school. You know, at the GLIAC conference in Michigan, couple teams in there were recruiting me, went to a couple camps in the summer. But seriously, not a ton of interest. Ended up going to the Saginaw Valley camp, got an offer there. A couple schools were looking at me at defensive end, and Saginaw really believed in me at linebacker, which I liked and had a good relationship with the coaching staff. Ended up going there, and kind of the rest is history. I had a great experience there, great time there. We were pretty successful, met a lot of great people, and nothing but good things to say about Saginaw. But no, I mean, honestly, like I said, not heavily recruited by any means, and you know, I was thankful they took a chance on me.
All right, well, take me back to your first training camp day in college. How was that different for you from anything you experienced at the high school level?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. I haven't had that one in a while. I try to kind of block out those memories of freshman football camp, man. Those were some dark days. You know, you think you got it figured out going into college, thinking, you know, when you're in high school, you think you're the man, and you get there and realize very quickly you got a lot to learn. So, I mean, it was a very eye-opening experience realizing, you know, there was a lot of hard work that was going to be had to have put in order to be successful. You know, I think I wasn't ready for the long days of meetings and practices. And, you know, it goes from being an extracurricular in high school to being a full-time job in college. So it was very eye-opening, to say the least.
All right. Well, and I think you already hit on this, but I was going to ask you, you played linebacker there. Did you play linebacker your entire career then in college?
Yeah. I kind of moved around a little bit. Our defense in college was, you know, kind of on the ball, off the ball for linebackers, which I think honestly really helped me coming into the NFL, kind of being able to play different positions, being able to set the edge, drop back in coverage and whatnot. But yeah, for the most part, an off the ball linebacker, but you know, kind of whenever I needed to kind of move around.
All right. Now, Saginaw Valley State, a Division II school, and Coach Angers loves talking up D2 schools and players who come from there because I think he sees that extra grit in those players to help them succeed. So let me ask you, after your college season and career ended at the end of last college season, what did you go through? Were there any special workouts or any preparation you were doing to kind of prepare for that next step?
Yeah, so I ended up training in Michigan in Novi. It's called Impact Sports Performance with Jim Kiyobasa. I actually still train with him. He runs a really good pro day, you know, 2-month program for it. It's a lot of local guys, you know, but honestly, people from around the country go there because he's just such a good trainer. And that's where I went to kind of get ready for the pro day, certain drills and whatnot. He does a good job of kind of, you know, telling you how to execute it, you know, the little tips you need in order to kind of shave off a few seconds and whatnot. I ended up going to the Tropical Bowl in Orlando, Florida. That was kind of my first experience, one, playing against, you know, Division I guys, kind of seeing where I stacked up because, you know, no matter what you say, when you're in Division II, you kind of always have that thing in the back of your head, like, you know, do I belong? You know, am I going to be able to hang with those guys? And that was really good for me to kind of, you know, understand that I do belong. You know, I did really well there. Talked to a couple scouts, which was that first time for me. You know, so if anything, it was a really good confidence boost going through those things, just understanding that, you know, I wasn't doing this all for nothing. And I knew I belonged, and I definitely had a shot playing in the NFL.
All right. So you mentioned it boosted your confidence by having that pro day stuff and the Tropical Bowl. Was there anything else it did to help you kind of prepare?
You know, honestly, no. Like I said, kind of going back to the high school thing, I didn't have a lot of, you know, I guess, hype around my name, right? Like I kind of was going on a whim. You know, I wanted to do everything I could to, you know, try to achieve my lifetime goal. You know, even if people weren't believing in me or there wasn't a lot of scouts talking to me and whatnot, you know, we had a really good defensive back at Saginaw, Nick Whiteside, you know, and he was getting a ton of publicity, ton of traction, which he deserved. And he's still playing with the Commanders right now. And, you know, that was kind of motivation for me, you know, to see Nick kind of go through that and see all that hype. I said, you know, if he can do it, I can do it. So I just kept believing in myself, kept going. But no, honestly, I throughout the process, I just kind of put my head down, went to work. You know, like you said, I had a pretty good pro day that kind of ended up kind of boosting my name out there and getting some calls from scouts and whatnot. I had a couple interviews and yeah. So no, I mean, honestly, throughout the draft process, it was a little intimidating at the beginning. Definitely didn't know what the future held, but you know, I didn't let any of that kind of faze me and just kept going to work.
All right. Well, a couple more things about the draft process before we get into your first year in the NFL. You said you did speak to some scouts ahead of time, but let's talk about draft night. I presume, but correct me if I'm wrong, as a football fan, you've watched NFL drafts in the past. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yep, absolutely. Every year.
So what was it like watching it a year ago?
You know, usually, you know, obviously when you're not in the draft, you're just excited to see what your team picks, right? Obviously, I'm from Michigan, big Lions fan, and I was always just excited. Who's the Lions going to take? This year, obviously, you know, you're on the other end of things. You know, you're kind of seeing if my name, you know, would get called or after the draft getting a free agent workout or anything like that. So honestly, the first 2 days, I didn't watch it. I kind of knew, you know, I was going to be a day 3 guy, if anything, you know, undrafted free agent. And honestly, I was not, I was just trying to kind of get my mind off of it, do other things. I ended up, I think before the third day, I went golfing with my buddies, you know, anything to keep my mind off it. Cause you know, obviously it's a little bit of a stressful time. So definitely on the other ends of things last year, it was a little bit nerve wracking for sure. So yeah, definitely a different experience when you're a part of it.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I understand that. It's like when someone's got something big coming up in their life, and it's a good thing, but you want to keep busy just to kind of keep yourself from driving yourself crazy during that.
Absolutely.
Yep. So I heard, and please correct me if I'm wrong or if this is true, but that you got at least one phone call on Saturday before the draft ended. Did that happen?
Yeah. So obviously, you know, teams will reach out to you kind of through the draft, kind of see where your head's at, you know, kind of try to pick your brain on if any teams are interested in you, if any other teams have called you. They're all trying to play the game, right? So yeah, I think I had one or two teams call me on Saturday, you know, and you're getting all excited, you know, you think, you know, okay, yeah, that, you know, one of those teams could either draft me, get me undrafted. You never know. So yeah, there was a couple teams, you know, throughout the couple of days that would either call me, you know, before the draft would start that day, you know, just see how I'm doing, you know, checking in and whatnot. So yeah, it's definitely kind of interesting how that works.
Well, from a fan standpoint, we know that once the draft does end, we hear there's a mad scramble by all these teams because there's lots of talented players still out there, yourself included in that last year. What was it like for you after the draft ended? What went through those few hours for you or however long it took?
Yeah, right. So from what my understanding was, I thought that the draft was going to end. My phone would start blowing up. You know, I'd have to pick between two or three teams. And, you know, I'd be on my way to one of those teams. That was not the case. I ended up kind of waiting around for about an hour. It might have been different in my mind. It might have been a lot less, but it felt like hours, and I'm sitting there like, damn, I thought, you know, all these teams were calling, interested up until the draft. And all of a sudden my phone's not ringing. And I'm like, geez, what's going on? So, yeah, it took about probably an hour and a half. My agent ends up calling me, you know, telling me we got a deal done with Detroit. You know, I was ecstatic. And it works out in your mind one way and then it happens another way. But like I said, it all worked out. And, now we're here. So, yeah.
Well, and tell me about that. Your family, I mean, being from Michigan, tell me about your family's reaction with it being the Lions. I mean, of all the teams it could have been, that was the team.
Yep. Yeah. So throughout my process, honestly, I went to their local day last year. I met some of the coaches, did a little workout. But after that, I did not hear anything from them. So I was, I kind of figured, okay, well, there's 31 other teams, I've had other calls, whatever, we'll see where it ends up. And then for them to kind of be the only team to sign me at the end of the draft it was unreal. I mean, I can't put it into words. I was outside just kind of trying to figure out what was going to be the next step. If nobody called, all of a sudden my agent calls me, I run back inside. We're all hugging, celebrating. We went out that night and, had a good time. And yeah, like you said, it couldn't have been written any better, to be the hometown team. It was so surreal for sure.
That's awesome. That is such a great story too. I am so happy that it happened that way for you. Yeah. Now, let me back up a minute. I asked you what it was like going from high school to college. How was your first day of camp with the Lions in the NFL different compared to the college level?
I think it's a little bit different in the sense that, you go from, especially it being your hometown team, you kind of put these guys on a pedestal, right? Coach Campbell, all these things. Hard Knocks was the year before. You're watching all these guys and all of a sudden now you're playing with them. So, just kind of being in the locker room with them and kind of having to take a step back and be like, oh my gosh, that's so-and-so, I was just watching him on TV and now all of a sudden you're in that position. It was definitely just kind of for a second, being a little starstruck, just kind of having to take a step back, just realize it's just football. It's just on a little bit bigger of a stage, but yeah, I would say, I kind of, once again, didn't really know what to expect. I didn't know, how the NFL worked, the ins and outs and whatnot, but I would just say, yeah, the kind of the celebrity aspect of it, right? So, first meeting, Coach Campbell's up there and you're just sitting there like, oh my gosh, that's Coach Campbell, So definitely just took a step back in a sense and be like, oh my gosh, like, where am I? Like, how did I get here?
Yeah, that's Coach Campbell, and you're in the same room as him, and he's talking to you. You're not, watching him on television talk to other people.
Yeah, no, seriously. It was very eye-opening, But like I said, at the end of the day, once you just kind of, get through that couple minutes of, starstruck, whatever, you're like, all right, I'm here to play football. That's it. So
I think that starstruck thing is probably the biggest thing that may have even surprised you. But other than that, was there anything else that surprised you about OTAs or training camp in the NFL or anything that impressed you or stood out to you?
I would say I think one thing about Detroit was just how embracing everyone was. Everyone was super, obviously it's a little cutthroat, right? Because it's a little different than college where everyone's trying to make the team. So you're in a room with 6-7 guys who, you're friends with, but at the same time, you're all fighting for jobs. But it never felt like that. It never felt like, people were trying to undercut you or any way like that to try to get an edge. Everyone was super helpful. You know, if I ever needed anything as a rookie or had needed advice on something, you know, there was always someone I could talk to and kind of, you know, kind of steer me in the right direction. I just didn't really, you know, like I continue to say, I didn't know if it was going to be super cutthroat. You know, I've heard stories about that on other teams, but no, in Detroit, it was very, you know, just kind of like a big family. Everyone was trying to help each other. So.
Yeah. That's awesome to hear. I was actually down at training camp last summer with Coach Angers, and I was fortunate enough. He introduced me to your mom and dad at training camp, and your mom talked about you growing up a football fan and being a big Detroit Lions fan. You kind of talked about how it was a little surreal at first, but once training camp happened, did those moments kind of, did they come back? Or, I mean, were you just too busy busting your butt to try to have some of that really hit you?
Yeah, no, you just hit on it, man. I mean, at the end of the day, you don't have any time to kind of take a step back. You're just going from one thing to another. You know, I know the situation. I know I'm at the bottom of the totem pole trying to claw my way to a roster spot. So there was no time to kind of take a step back at that point and kind of look around. Like, you just had to put your head down and go to work, you know, and after that, you know, let the chips fall where they may. So, like I said, after a while, you know, you kind of realize like everyone's just a normal person. You know, obviously it's just a lot of cameras on you. It's just a bigger stage. But like I've said a lot of times, it's just football. You know, it's just, you know, there's a lot more eyes on you. And, you know, the stakes are a little higher. But at the end of the day, it's football. So
that makes sense. Now, you know, fans who go to training camp see you guys for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, however long that practice is. But training camp is more than one day. It's multiple weeks. But could you take us through, what's just one typical day from training camp like?
Yeah. So, yeah, I kind of always talk about just, there's just so much more that goes into it than, yeah, that small frame that the fans get to see. There's just a lot of meetings, I would say. You know, the game's a lot more mental than physical. So you're in the classroom a lot of times from, you know, whenever you're not on the field, you're really in the classroom, whether it's reviewing film, you know, talking about the practice, talking about before practice, what we're going to do, you know, talking about the scheme they're going to, you know, install that day, you know, coverages, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, probably a typical work days from, you know, I'd say 7 to 7, probably a 12-hour day. And, you know, and you got to, you know, you got to rehab, you got to recover, you got to make sure your body's right. So, yeah, there's a lot more to it than people think. Obviously, people just, you know, watch us on Sundays or watch us at practice and think after that it's day's over. But, yeah, there's a lot more small little nuances that are kind of implemented in to make sure, you know, you're at your tip top game. And like I said, it's a lot more mental than people think. I think that was a little bit eye opening for me this year, you know, because I once I got there, I realized, OK, I belong. But, you know, it's definitely you got to have your mind ready because, you know, it's definitely a lot more, I guess, detailed.
That makes sense. Well, through training camp, you get to that first NFL game, the preseason game for you against the Giants. What was that like taking the field, and what was that experience like for you suiting up as a Detroit Lion and taking the field at Ford Field?
Yeah. So we kind of go back to what you were saying about how I didn't really have time to kind of take a step back, realize where I'm at. And yeah, I don't know what happened that day. I guess it just kind of all hit me at once. But yeah, all of a sudden I'm running out of the tunnel at Ford Field. And I'm just looking up like, how the hell did I get here? You know what I mean? Like, you go from, you know, my senior year at Saginaw, and then you just kind of, there's no stop right into training camp and all this stuff. And all of a sudden I'm looking up and I'm like, geez, man, what the hell? So it was such a, I mean, I continue to say it, but really I just can't put it into words. Like I had no idea, you know, just so thankful, you know, for how it all had worked out up until that point. And, you know, like I continued to say, I just was going to go out there and put everything on the line, and whatever happened. And, you know, that was kind of my motto throughout training camp, throughout my training, everything. As long as I gave it my all and continued to, you know, put in everything I could, that I'd be satisfied with the outcome. So.
Well, it sounds like your attitude and your mental perspective is what carried you through everything and probably got you to where you are today, because as you said, you weren't heavily recruited, right? And so there are D1 players who didn't get drafted and didn't get invited to training camps, and yet you did. And so training camp's going, You know, your name's come up a few times at that point. I remember hearing about it. You are making an impression, but there's that cut down day. And in the past, they used to have two levels of cut down, but they changed it. So it's just one cut down day. You know, I think you already said it. As long as you gave everything, you were going to be satisfied. But kind of how did it all go down? Kind of take me through that process.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, you know, you kind of have an idea, I feel, throughout camp, you know, like you said, whether you're getting more reps, whether you're getting less reps. I mean, you know, obviously it, in the back of your head, you kind of have an idea, but I truly didn't. You know, like you said, I'm making plays in the preseason games. I'm doing well on special teams. And, you know, it's coming down to that last day. And I didn't really know what happened. I felt like I, you know, like I said, I made a good impression. I felt like, you know, I was doing good things on the field, but I really had no idea, you know. And then obviously cut day happens. I end up getting released and signed to the practice squad. But, you know, for me, I knew I had a good relationship with everyone in Detroit. And, you know, I truly believed what they were telling me and, you know, how they had a plan for me and everything. So In my eyes, it all worked out, you know, and obviously my career is still going and whatnot. And we'll get into that. But yeah, now it's definitely a wild ride, right? Like you go, you build all these relationships and whatnot. And then there's just this one day where, you know, thankfully I was able to stay on the team. But, you know, a lot of guys, you know, they're just you never see them again. So it's definitely a unique kind of aspect to the game, something I had never gone through. So it was definitely a kind of a wild experience going through it for the first time.
That makes a lot of sense. And you brought up the practice squad. That's right where I was going next. You weren't on the active roster, but you got signed to the practice squad. So, you know, can you explain kind of what that felt like and what that means to the average fan who might know what an active roster is, but they don't know how the practice squad works?
You know, honestly, I think in Detroit, when I got signed to the practice squad, you know, they told me that, hey, it's not an extension or it's not like, you know, in certain teams, I feel, you know, there's the active roster and the practice squad and, you know, they're looked at differently. I didn't feel that way in Detroit. I felt like, you know, it was just one big unit. And honestly, you know, you have to stay ready. And honestly, so for the practice squad, yeah, you're doing everything that the active roster guy does, right? Like there's no like separate schedule for you. You're doing every single thing that they're doing. But obviously when it comes to game day or whatnot, you just might not be playing that week or depending on certain situations. But then again, you know, you have to stay ready because, you know, someone goes down or you're playing well that week on the scout team, you know, you could get called up. So kind of just to sum it up, like I said, it's just an extension of, you know, the active roster. Obviously there's pros and cons to it, but at the end of the day, you know, you got to stay ready. You can't just take it, you know, I'm just here giving a good look for the defense or the offense. You got to be ready just as the, you know, the starting guy is, because you never know what could happen, you know. It's a very physical sport, and something happens in practice that week, some guy gets banged up, oh, all of a sudden you're playing. So can never take a day off or never take it for granted. So, yeah, it's obviously something that, like you said, the average fan probably doesn't understand. But in reality, you know, it's just kind of an extra 12 or 13 guys added to the team, you know, and their role's just a little bit different through the day-to-day.
All right. Well, you answered one of my questions already, which was what's the week like on the practice squad? You said you're just like that with all the regular active players. And again, not every active player dresses for a game anyway, but you guys are all together. So let me back up just a moment then. How did that feel when you were offered a practice squad position?
Oh, it was great. You know, like I said, I really had no idea whether I was getting, you know, released to the practice squad, whether I was just getting released, whether I was making the team. You know, my head was kind of spinning at that point, going into that last preseason game. So, you know, obviously the end goal is to, you know, make the team, right? Like no one wants to get cut. No one wants to get released. But, you know, to kind of, you know, have them want you back, you know, and like you said, kind of showed them enough during camp that, you know, they believed in me and wanted to work with me and develop me. That meant a lot to me. So, you know, obviously I was, you know, a little bummed that I didn't make the team, but obviously, you know, that's on me. And, you know, I took it as a challenge to kind of just get better every day, you know, continue to work. And, you know, eventually, you know, who knows what could happen. And then obviously we kind of go through the season and, you know, I end up getting on the active roster. So, you know, it kind of works out in different ways. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, was super excited for the opportunity, right? That's all you kind of could take. And kind of going back to the beginning, all I needed was, or all I wanted was an opportunity to, you know, have a chance to make the team, got that. And then just another, really just looked at it as another opportunity in the grand scheme of things. So, yeah.
Well, you took me right to that next spot, which was you had a busy, busy first season in the NFL because you were on the practice squad. And then I think it was somewhere just past the halfway point of the season, you got elevated to the active roster. Take me through that. What was that like and what does that mean?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, definitely had no idea really how it worked in the NFL, my rookie season, a lot of things going on. Yeah, so it was our bye week. Like you said, I can't remember exactly what week, 8, 9, 10, something like that. And, you know, some things happen where another team tries to sign me. You know, Detroit kind of wants to, you know, sign me to the active roster. So we go through all these things. And like you said, I end up getting signed to the active roster. Yeah. And that, I mean, kind of to put it in like similar or just bland terms, you know, obviously really it's similar to the practice squad. You're just the, you know, the pay is a little different. And now obviously, you know, you're dressing for the games, but like you said, now I kind of understand there's inactives. You might not dress for the game, but you're on the active roster. And I was still learning it just like everyone else was, you know, everyone following along with me, my friends and whatnot. I'm trying to explain to them because I didn't even know how it worked. You know, it's my first time going through this, but, you know, kind of like to go back what I said, I'm just happy that, you know, they truly, you know, saw something in me, saw something they wanted to develop. And, you know, I couldn't be more thankful for the year I had there and, you know, kind of how it all worked out. And yeah, you know.
That's awesome. Now, during this time, was there a Lions player who had the most impact or influence on you while going through training camp or your time on the practice squad leading up to this?
Yeah, I would probably say Jalen Reeves-Maybin, you know, in the linebacker room. You know, he was one of the guys early on that just kind of showed me the importance of special teams. I mean, we all saw this year how well he did, you know, captain of the special teams unit. Not only that, but, you know, when he was called, when his number was called on defense, he did a great job stepping up and, you know, not only just kind of filling in the role, but kind of exceeding expectations and really doing a good job. But yeah, kind of like I talked about earlier, he was one of those guys, if, you know, I ever needed something or I ever needed to, you know, technique wise on a certain drill or whatnot, he'd be there to kind of guide me in the right direction. You know, he's got a ton of experience. He's a vet. He's truly like the definition of a professional in the NFL, you know, and I built a good relationship with him in Detroit. And yeah, I would probably say my boy Jerm. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Now let's turn over to the coaching aspect here a little bit. Coach Campbell's a very likable coach by fans. He gets a lot of attention, but I presume you worked with linebacker coach Calvin Shepard quite a bit, and he's gotten some positive press on his own. What was it like working with him?
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, Shep's such a good guy. You know, kind of going back to the practice squad aspect, it would have been very easy for him, you know, if I wasn't in the game plan that week or something, to, you know, kind of not just be as coachable or not coachable, but coaching me up as much as he needed to, because he knew that week I wasn't playing. But no matter what, whether I was active, inactive, on the practice squad, he made sure that week that, you know, if something happened or whatnot, I was ready to go. You know, whether it was meetings, he's getting me involved, you know, Q&As, whatnot, making sure I'm on my P's and Q's, because, like I said, you never know. But I learned so much through him, you know, him playing in the league for so many years. You know, it's great to have a source of knowledge like him. You know, I was very thankful for the time I had with him. Cause like I said, it would have been very easy for him to kind of, you know, when certain weeks and whatnot, not be, you know, as attentive to me as he was. But no, I have nothing but good things to say about him. Like I said, I felt like built a good relationship with him, and I progressed so much as a player through him, throughout the season. So yeah, it was a great time having Shep as my LB coach for my rookie year.
That is awesome. And this next part is where the story changes unexpectedly, right? If I can use a baseball metaphor, sometimes you get thrown a curveball. The Lions had a lot of moving parts on their roster due to injuries, shuffling of players to different positions. Detroit tried to move you back to the practice squad. They did this with a number of players, but the Arizona Cardinals put in a waiver claim on you. Can you explain to the average fan, what does that mean?
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess the way I try to explain it to, like, my friends and whatnot, right, a lot of people play fantasy football. You know, they understand that, you know, if you're third on the waiver wire and you're trying to pick up a certain player that week and someone tries before you, and then they get the guy, right? So, I mean, that's really what it is. So, you know, that week they were, I don't know how it works. I don't know where they were on the waiver wire, whatever, but... You know, if nobody claimed me, I go back to Detroit and I'm on the practice squad, but that wasn't the case. Obviously, you know, they saw something in me and made a waiver claim, and now I'm an Arizona Cardinal. And, you know, like I said, I have nothing but good things to say about Detroit. How we handled the situation was I totally understood it. Like you said, moving parts, you know, the linebacker room's healthy. We're getting guys off of IR. You know, I understood. No bad blood there. I get it. It's a business. But I'm super excited. For the future in Arizona, I think it's a great spot for me. I think I like the way we're moving. You know, now my career kind of takes a turn. And I'm excited for upcoming OTAs, upcoming camp. It'll be a new experience for me, and I can't wait.
That's awesome. And it, you know, if I'm correct, you originally signed a 3-year contract. So you are under contract with the Arizona Cardinals for 2 more years, and it's the off season right now. So what is life like for you?
Yeah. It's just, I would say, not as physically demanding, obviously. Still working out every day. Like I said, I still train. I'm back in Michigan right now. I'm training the Novi. Just keeping my body in shape, keeping my mental in shape, just getting my body and my mind right for camp. So it's not like you're just taking it off, going on a ton of vacations. You're just staying ready because obviously, you know, like we've seen throughout this kind of conversation, a lot of things can happen, a lot of moving parts, you know, your job's never as secure as you think it is. So you always got to kind of stay ahead of the curve in terms of that, because if not, you know, as you can see, it can kind of change very quickly. So
that makes sense. And like you said, getting claimed by another team off of waivers really should be considered a compliment, because it means they saw something in you. And if I'm not mistaken, by them claiming you, that put you on their active roster. Is that correct?
Yeah. Right. So I ended the season on the active roster. And then obviously when you go to the off season, it just turns into a 90-man roster. So, you know, that's great. Like you said, I'm super excited. They saw something in me. I've had great conversations with everyone there, the coaching staff, the GM, everybody. But at the end of the day, you still got to make it through camp. Right. So it's obviously, like you said, very complimentary, you know, to see that they believed in me. But that doesn't really change my mindset or anything, how I see things. You know, you still got to have the same mindset I had last year going into Detroit and, just continue to work. And like I said, just see what happens. So,
well, in your first year in the NFL, you spent time with 2 different organizations. And so what are one or two things that you learned most this past season? And are those things that might help you going into your second season?
I would just say, you know, don't get too high or low. No matter the situation, right? Like we've said, it's been a bumpy ride. You know, there are a lot of highs, a lot of lows. But I feel like if you let those kind of get to your head, you know, it could be kind of catastrophic to your career and whatnot. So I try to just stay level-headed, no matter the situation. You know, whether I was on practice squad, active roster, whatever, I never felt like, you know, I had made it or, you know, I mean, obviously very fortunate to be in the situation I'm in. I felt like that was probably the biggest, probably thing I learned. And yeah, I would also say just building good relationships, no matter where you're at. I think it's important. I think in all aspects of life. But I definitely learned that my first year, because you never know when you'll need those relationships, players or coaches, and they give a lot to you. So it's important to kind of do the same for them. So I just felt like building good relationships and, you know, kind of just staying where your feet are probably 2 of the biggest things I learned this past season.
That's awesome. That might go to this question I have next, which is, I've got a variety of listeners on this show. Is there any specific advice you'd give to someone trying to fulfill a dream of theirs like you did, trying to make it to the NFL?
Yeah, I would just say to be consistent, right? I feel like, you know, at a young age, I always felt like, you know, I had an idea of what I wanted to do. I had goals and all these things, but I felt like early on, I didn't have these plans. I didn't have these small steps in order to achieve that goal. And I felt like I really didn't hit that stride until college, where I was very consistent in what I did. And that doesn't have to be anything crazy. You know what I mean? If you're just eating right, if you're, you know, working out every day or however many days, whatever. And, you know, if you're just consistent in what you do and you have a belief in yourself, I feel like that goes a long way. I feel like sometimes people feel like you need to do a million different things in order to achieve these goals. But I feel like a lot of times they're just not very consistent with how they approach things. You know, like I said, I had a big goal in mind, and that was to make it to the NFL. You know, I felt like I was very consistent in my approach, you know, how I looked at things, how I took challenges on, adversity. You know, I feel like there's a lot of different ways it could have worked out if I had kind of, you know, folded or, you know, looked at a challenge in a negative aspect. So, I mean, it's kind of overset. It kind of might fall on deaf ears, but just to be consistent and believe in yourself, no matter, you know, where you're at, right? Like I said at the beginning, I wasn't heavily recruited, even out of college, didn't know what the future held, but I believed in myself, had that belief in myself. And now we're here. So, you know, like you said, if, you know, I don't like to, you know, be like, oh, look at me. But I am proof that if you do that, you know, the sky's the limit. So you really never know what could happen if you just kind of believe in yourself. And yeah.
That's awesome. And again, you know, that's a perfect example of working hard and not giving up, even if you're not getting all the accolades early on. So if I think back or look back to that first half of the season when you were with the Lions and the preseason, do you have a favorite memory or so that stood out during that time?
Favorite memory? You know, for me early on, you know, we kind of talked about it. That first preseason game was definitely probably just the most surreal. I would say obviously the first game I played in during the regular season against the Saints. You know, just to kind of see all the hard work paid off. And then the when we played the Vikings and clinched the NFC North, I got my first tackle. And obviously we clinched the NFC North. So, you know, what a unreal season, you know, I had with them. You know, and it just felt like it kept getting better and better and better. It just felt like I was in a dream. So yeah, a couple of those memories stand out. You know, like I said, I had a great experience. Nothing but good things to say. I'm excited. You know, I'm more than excited for my time in Arizona. And, you know, we're going to see where it goes and just continue to work.
It looks like the Lions are playing out in Arizona this year. So do you think you're going to have some family making the trip out there?
Oh, yeah. 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 My parents have already been looking at, you know, obviously the schedule's not out, but you can see that, yeah, we play them at home this year. So, yeah, that'll be super cool. You know, it'll be a really cool experience to kind of see some old friends and whatnot and have my family out there. Yeah, I bet you my family will be out there. I'm not sure exactly the specifics of it, but my immediate family, you know, they're very supportive, and I wouldn't doubt it if they're out there for the entire week that week. So, yeah.
Awesome, Trevor. I wish you the best of luck and success this upcoming season and beyond that. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Folks, that was Canton, Michigan native, former Detroit Lion, and current Arizona Cardinal linebacker Trevor Nowoski. Thanks again to him for taking the time to come on the show and share so much insight on his experiences, be it during the draft, training camp, and his time with the Detroit Lions. I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I did speaking with Trevor. We are wishing him nothing but the best. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find more episodes and content at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, tell your friends about the show and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Hold up.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.